And you know, some of them cooked for several days even before Thanksgiving Day to make preparations for the family members and loved ones and friends to be invited to that great feast. And then some, you know, men got up, I guess, kind of early. A lot of them did, and got the wood and a lot of work, put that wood on the grill and got that grill going and the smoker going and making preparations for that early that morning. And it says, you know, and then everybody had to do is just come together. You know, the invitation. Some people, they say, well, what do you want me to bring? Just come. And all things are ready. And then you see there's all the food and there's extra tables. And you know, as you maybe if you host this at your home, you know, there's always an extra table to be put out and extra chairs. You got to get chairs around the table and a tablecloth. And then after a while, you look and everybody gets ready to eat and there's some people that would not come. The sadness in this message today is a thanksgiving for those that do come, but God has made preparations. And He's invited the whole world in honor of His Son, the marriage feast. He's made preparations. Everything can be done. In the Old Testament, we see the examples of the Father's heart. We saw the example whenever He had a feast and people would not show up. The feast for in honor of His Son. We see the heart of God in Genesis 22 whenever He took His son Isaac, Abraham did, up on that mountain to sacrifice him. We see the heart of God. We see the heart of God in gladness whenever Isaac wanted a bride, and Abraham sent his servant back to get a bride, and it was Rebekah. She came to a man she never saw before. She promised to marry a man she'd never seen. She took that trip, and her faith turned to sight. That was the gladness of the Lord's heart. But we see in the New Testament also, we find out the wedding feast, and when God is going to honor His Son one day in heaven with a great feast, because we're the bride. And they're going to be a great feast of the bride one day. And all of us, a lot of us have had that great feast. At Thanksgiving, you have another feast probably at Christmas time. Statements across the world, great state people and the great intelligent people and our rich people have been invited to great banquets. But I'll tell you, nobody has never been invited to a greater banquet than God's inviting you to today if you're not saved. And God is saying, I have made all the preparations. It costs a lot to make a banquet. It costs a lot to make a feast. It cost me my son. It says it took a lot of preparation. The preparation before this world ever began, the foundation of the world, the preparation time. And the work that was done on Calvary's cross to make it possible that you will never have to work for your salvation, because you couldn't work for it anyway. But God said, I've done all the work. I've done all the preparation. I set out all the chairs. And I've asked you to come. These verses of scriptures tells us and they would not. As you think about yourself and this past week, and you made all these plans, all the work, all the preparation, and all the cost, and they wouldn't come. It's the heart of God. But that did not stop God. He said, some will come. And by you being here today, expression of your love to Jesus, I don't know what God's going to do for the far end of this service this hour, how He's going to touch your hearts. But I do know one thing. You may be here today and you may be lost. You've never accepted Jesus. And you may not never come to Jesus Christ. You might not never sit at that table in the sky with a wedding supper. But I can assure you in these words of God I'm fixing to share with you, that will not stop the supper. You can back off. You can walk out under the blood or over the blood of Jesus Christ, but if you reject him, you will not be invited to that supper. But that supper will go on, and they will be guests at that supper. Let us read these verses of scriptures, 1 through 3 in Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great invitation. That, Father, you have extended your invitation for over 2,000 years. And, oh, how we pray and thank you. And, Father, we know that, Lord, that your guest list at the wedding supper in the sky, Father, is getting longer each day. And, Father, we know that you're making that table longer. And, Father, we know that you're setting out more chairs. And maybe, Father, there's a chair just today that you have set out for that one person that's in this auditorium. That one person that you're speaking to has never really made that profession of faith. And Father, this day you've asked that person, would you come? Would you dine? Would you sit at this table? Father, we thank you for that invitation, for what it cost you. The preparation was made before the foundation of this world. And how we thank you this day that we're able, oh God, to offer this invitation through the Word of God. And it's my privilege to invite the people, O God, through thy word, that they may come and celebrate Jesus Christ. God, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you this morning, God the Father, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in inviting you to a great banquet. Thank you, Jesus Christ, in honor of his Son. Now, the first thing, the King's wonderful invitation, it is very wonderful. And we thank the Lord so very, very much. In these verses of Scripture, in this chapter, we have Jesus Christ inviting the Jews first. Because we know that it is a national invitation to the Jews. But they rejected it and they would not come. And then he extended it, then not only that, to the general, whosoever will, to the Jews and the Gentiles, whosoever will. And to the end of this chapter, then it is very personal. It is for you and for me and for who may come. It is for this day, as I that said, that chair will be set. Jesus Christ began to talk in these parables, and these parables is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I hope the meaning, oh God, will be across your heart this day to understand. Using the example that God showed me, how it is that people work so hard for the great feast of Thanksgiving and Christmas and other time, and some of the members just will not come. How sad it makes the one that's all work and all these preparation. How sad it makes the Lord. But Father, we want to thank you this day. And we try to tell this story about this marriage feast because it is a great supper of the Lamb. God the Father is in honor of his Son, Jesus Christ. The great and the grand and the glorious feast, and a privilege is sent out and been sent out for many, many years. The thanksgiving that we should give God for allowing us to be part of this great feast if you're saved and know Jesus Christ this hour. Don't miss this invitation. If you're not saved, you need to be saved this day. Revelation 19:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife have made herself ready. It's ready today. All you have to do is just come. Thanksgiving, that great feast. One of these days we're going to celebrate like we have never celebrated before. I thank the Lord for this time of the year, of the season. I always like it because it's a time of family and fellowship that we might be able to share with loved ones and our family members throughout the year. I love this family time. But I tell you, one of these days we're going to be invited to the great family, the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we all shall be together in heaven. I'm going to tell you, it was a royal feast. It said there in verse 2, the King of heaven is likened to a certain king. This is a king that made this marriage for his son. It is a parable. Jesus Christ is a royal son of the heavenly king that we're celebrating here this day. You never settle the issue of sin question until you settle the issue of the son question, because the Bible is all about Jesus. The Bible all about a lovely Savior. Several verses of scriptures I like to read you that come to my mind. Psalm 2:7 says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Psalms 2 and 12 says, kiss the son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed all they that put their trust in him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, for God sent his son not into the world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the son have everlasting life, and he that believeth not the son shall not see life, but the wrath of God that abides on him is here today for you. I hope that you not reject this invitation to the great supper of the Lamb, because God said it's going to happen. God the Father, he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It is a royal feast. It is also a very rich feast too, to honor him. And then it says, hear ye him. It is for his honor. And God says, this is my beloved son, Jesus Christ, and I'm well pleased. And then he says, hear ye him. What did Jesus Christ say? All your heavy laden, he says, come unto me. As that song that they sung, I appreciate that song, because people are searching for all kind of things in this world to satisfy their need. But they will never ever be satisfied until they come and satisfy their need in Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me. You'll never bow your knee if you don't never bow your knee to Jesus Christ. I tell you, you'll never understand the sin question in your life. And you'll not be right with the Father if you're not right with God. I tell you, the Father of Jesus Christ, you've got to be right with the Son. I tell you what, it is great honor today to thank the Lord for what he's done for each and every one of us today. But to think about this feast today, that he is honoring you, do you come and sit at this table today? And it kind of grips my heart when I think about exactly what it really means to the Father. I have three sons, but just suppose that I just had one son, just one precious son like a lot of people has. And I love him so very, very much, and it come time for him to be married. And you see, for what little bit of money I had, but I spent everything that I had. I gave everything I could give for this great feast or that wedding that they was going to get married. And it's very special. Then I invited everybody to come, just like this morning. I'm telling you, I'm going to have a wedding feast for my son and the bride going to get married. And I invite everybody in this church and all the friends and neighbors, but especially to you, I'm inviting you to come. Some says, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. I've just invited you. And then I asked you, why not? Well, really, tell you the truth, you'd tell me, I don't like your son, tell you the truth. And a matter of fact, I don't think a whole lot about you. Would that be an insult to you? That is exactly what people are doing that's heard the invitation to come to Jesus Christ. You don't like my son and you don't really care much about me. That's what you're telling God the Father, and that's what you're telling Jesus Christ. How sad, because it is an insult of many. And you're making a statement for or either against Jesus Christ every time you come or you don't come. You're making a statement. It is a very rich feast, royal feast, a rich feast, because it said in verse 4 in this same chapter, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Now come, everything is made ready. All you have to bring is an appetite to the dinner. Just come, everything is made ready. I mean, this is a great feast. Steak. Everything you can think of, the fatlings, a great time for you to come. But people will not. People will not come whenever God prepares everything and does everything he can. Why? Because the devil does a good job in hiding the riches we have in Jesus Christ. You see, there's a song again that they sung. People are searching for things, but you see, the devil in this world has hid their eyes from the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. The riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Now think about this. The devil wants us to think negative about God. Remember in the Garden of Eden? John 10:10 said, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Then the importance of coming and hearing the Word of God and coming to church. Because the devil works on you all week, even though that you're saved. The devil works on you all week to try to hide and conceal all the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. And he does a real good job in doing this. Now, what I'm doing right now is revealing the riches of Jesus Christ to you. What you had in your Sunday school hour, if you was here, and you should have been if you could, and that teacher in that class, what they was doing is unveiling the riches of Jesus Christ to every student that come this morning. That's what we do on Wednesday night, because the devil every day, every hour is trying to conceal and blind you, even if you're a child of God, trying to blind you from the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're lost this morning, you already are in darkness. You're already blind. If you don't come hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that marvelous light to open up your eyes, you might see, you will never understand the riches that having Jesus Christ. The devil are going to hide them. And right now he's working. If there a person in this building is not saved, he's working on you to blind your eyes to what this preacher is saying through the Word of God, that you might not understand the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. All the teaching and all the singing, and we just had to do the same thing. And the praying that we have, do the same thing. They're just opening our eyes to the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that you should be in the house of God every time you can, because all the world, everything this world stands for, is blinding your eyes and covering the things that Jesus Christ wants you to have in the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Would you come, he says, would you come? Open our eyes, the riches of Jesus Christ. Don't close them. When anybody says, "I'm not coming to church," and excuses are used, they're playing in the hands of Satan, and he's covering their eyes that they might not see the riches of Jesus Christ. The devil don't want you to see it. He keeps your eyes closed as much as he can. All the day, I tell you, he's closed the eyes of our youth and our generation. We have lost a generation of youth because of what Satan has done in this world. This world is not a friend of God, and is closing eyes of the youth we have in our country. And we're losing our kids to Satan. Why? Because everything of this world is designed to cover their eyes of the riches that they have in Jesus Christ. And they're searching for all things today. Look at our youth today, how rootless they are. They don't have no roots. They have no belief. They have no church. They're not church today. And the mothers and fathers, shall I say one thing to them? Woe to the mothers and fathers, especially to those that claims they know Jesus Christ and their children at home today and every Sunday, and they will not bring them. And the devil is closing their eyes, and they cannot see the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. And the devil has them exactly where he wants them, because they have no belief system. You can tell them everywhere you see. They have no roots. No wonder they're going the ways of the world. No wonder, because God, the Satan has blinded their eyes, and they're looking for all these riches in this world, and they're never satisfied, and they have no foundation. They have not been brought to church. They cannot hear the Word of God. They cannot understand the things that's really happening around them, because they're blinded to the things of old Satan today. And mothers and fathers are falling right into that hand with them. But not only that, they are restless. They are restless today. Why do you think our youth today is turning to drugs and sex and all kind of things today? They are restless. They are looking for something today, but their eyes are blinded. Thanks for the mothers and fathers in this generation. They are helping them. They'll make sure that they're in the schools. They'll make sure they have their programs of sports. They'll make sure they do everything. But when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the house of God, when it comes to the things of God, they could care less, and their children are being lost by Satan today. And I tell you, they're blinded, that they do not understand the riches they have in Jesus Christ in the life that we live today, much less the life that's coming. And then, you know, they are just ruthless, because they steal and they kill and they murder, and they have no respect and they have no remorse of the times that we're living in this day. And the Bible says they've been the past of being far spent, the past feelings. The generation don't understand the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, parents and grandparents today, you need to understand what it's all about coming to church. Our attendance ought to grow and double every Sunday and every Wednesday night. I'm going to tell you, if you might do without breakfast, you shouldn't do without bringing your kids to the house of God, because you let no Satan blind them to the things that Jesus Christ has for them and the riches they have in Jesus Christ. And if they don't hear it at the house of God, where are they going to hear it at? They're not going to hear it at the schoolhouse. And again, thank the Lord for the Christian teachers that we have. But I'm going to tell you, the school system from a very early age in kindergarten tells them about against the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, they need to hear it from the house of God. They need to hear it in the Word of God. And also they need to hear it in your house also, because you have been steeped in the Word of God this day. Come and celebrate Jesus Christ. And then it says there in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. The youth need to understand this, and you need to understand that desires are in Jesus Christ, and he'll give you those things that they're searching for and they cannot find in this world today. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be held from them that walk upright. The good things that God wants to give you, the riches that we have in God today, but this world is blinding the eyes of so many people because they will not allow God to break through in their life and show them what they need today in Christ Jesus. It's already prepared. The feast is already here. All it says to come and to dine. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust and earn certain riches, but in the living God who give us all riches and all things to enjoy. God does that for us. God the King, the wonderful invitation that he give us. But I tell you, the feast is ready. But I tell you, there's one more thing. The King have a wrathful indignation. He has a wrath that's coming for those. It will not come to that invitation. Yes, God is a righteous God, but he's also a God of judgment. It says, verse 5 and 6 of chapter 22, but they made light of it. He's invited them. They made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took the servants and treated with them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his army and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. There's a wrath coming one of these days for those who have rejected Jesus Christ for this great supper. That's as good as I can tell you. They said no, and many today. They would not come in verse 4. Many, many times they would not come. They was careless. Not that they couldn't come, they would not come, just like the celebration that we just had. I'm sure that some family members would not come. Not they couldn't come, they would not come. And then you know what carelessness does? If you're very careless, you know what it does? It'll turn into mockery. It said there in verse 5, they made light of it. Come to church, I'm just as good as any of those people down there at Pleasant Hill. That's exactly right, they are. And without Jesus Christ, they're just good enough to go to a place called hell. Because there's none of us good, no, not one. They're making the wrong comparison. They will compare themselves with Jesus Christ, not near one of us. Because not none of us perfect. Don't compare yourself to us, but compare yourself to Jesus Christ. There's mockery. No, I won't come. And then begin to make jokes and make fun out of holy things of God. We're living in that country right now. And then you see, after that, it leads to hostility. Verse 6, again it says, and the remnant took the servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Hostility. You know, the day we see him progressing is going further and further away from God. You know what's happening today? The hearts are getting harder and harder and harder. And I tell you, saw that in the youth. In the vote of this past election, of the great percentage of the young people in this country, what they voted for. You know exactly what they voted for. Why? Because they've been taught at an early age, homosexuality is all right. They like same-sex marriage. From the very kindergarten, some books, I've seen on television where it says it's all right for the kids to be taught, that it's all right for them to have two mommies or have two daddies. It's all right for abortion on demand. That's what the majority, way far the majority, the youth of our country voted for in this election. That's what they voted for. You know why they voted for it? Because their eyes are blinded to the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. The heart, they have moved down to hostility. What I need that for is what I want. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart in the provocation of the day, in the temptation, in the wilderness. Harden not your heart." The measure of God's graft is a measure of God's grace, and a measure of God's grace is a measure of God's wrath. I tell you, it's an insult in the face of God. But not only that, we find the king's willful determination that the feast will go on. There will be a feast, and it will go on. God said it will. Verses 8 and 9 also says in the same chapter, "Then said he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." Now we see the great invitation. The Jews would not do it. Jesus said he'd come to the Jews first. They turned him down. Then he goes to the whole world, the Gentiles and everybody. And they said, no, he won't come. But now the Gentiles, whosoever will, is here this day. God says there's going to be a wedding party. God said there's going to be a wedding feast. Go, he says, furnish it, because there are going to be some guests there. And your refusal say no, and you will say no to God, that I'm not coming, will not shut heaven's door for someone else. If you don't come to Jesus Christ this day, and you're lost in this building, and you don't come to Jesus Christ this day and celebrate the great celebration of that wedding feast, somebody else will come. But somebody is going to come. The marriage supper is going to go on. The bride is going to be prepared. You may not come, but that will not stop heaven's door. It's been open for all it will. And verse 10, it says, "So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests." There's a lot to say on that verse of Scripture, but the feast there. First of all, it says, "thy servants." If I could ask you to raise your hand today, are you a servant of God? I'd like to see how many hands would go up, but don't raise your hand. I won't say that now, but at least, are you a servant? I ask you the question, are you a servant of God? That means if you're saved, you are a servant of God this morning. He said the servants went out and invited to this great feast. And it says all things are ready. Now, there's four hands. I didn't ask you to raise your hand, but there are four hands that really disturbed me. And one of these hands that I think about is the downstretched hands from heaven. That is the nail prints of Jesus Christ is reaching down to this old earth to save people. The downstretched hands of Jesus Christ, whosoever will shall come. But there's the upstretched hand for those in hell would like to have just a drop of water to cool their tongue. You see, there's an outstretched hand to the world around us that's dying in their sin and going to hell without our outstretched hands. And then the hands that really concern me the most are the folded hands of our church. It won't reach out and do anything. Not the church, but the church as a whole, not just Pleasant Hill. The folded hands. God says, if you're a servant, go and tell them. The marriage will be furnished with guests. And verse 10, "So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad, good, and the wedding was furnished." The bad and the good will be furnished. The great number. It says in the book of Revelation, there will be great numbers that no man can number. They're coming to this wedding supper. Great numbers are coming. You may not come today, but they're going to be a great number. It's just going to be without you if you turn down this invitation and Jesus Christ will come back. The marriage is going to be furnished with guests. But not only that, the guests will be furnished with garments. As I see verse 11 through 14 in this chapter. "And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friends, how camest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bid him hand and foot, cast him away, cast him to outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Here's this man coming in now without a wedding garment. And he asked him, how come you don't have a wedding garment? Because a wedding garment was furnished. They didn't have to worry about putting on clothes. I tell you to come to the wedding of my son, you don't have to worry about wearing a suit, because you get there, everything's going to be furnished for you. But here comes a man in with his clothes on. Says, I don't need your suit. I don't need your wedding garments. I'm good enough just like I am. That's what a lot of people think. They think they're good enough just like they are. God says, none of us good, no, not one. But you see, he said, how come that you come in without a wedding garment on? You know what the verse of Scripture said in verse 12? He was speechless. I can tell you one thing. There's a lot of people hiding behind excuses. They don't come and bring their kids. And they don't come and they're hiding behind, someone hurt my feelings. You can hide behind it if you want to. But when you stand before Jesus Christ, it says he was speechless. Revelation 3:19 says, every mouth shall be stopped. That person will not stand and say, well, they hurt my feelings, Lord, and I didn't feel like I needed to come. You can make all excuses you want to. What will they say if I walk down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ? You can make all excuses you want to, but when you stand before Jesus Christ, you will not open your mouth. You will not try to make any type of excuse, because it says all mouth will be stopped. The excuses will be over with. It's time for judgment. Jesus Christ. No excuses. Man thought he was all right. So many, many today. You know, Isaiah said that our righteousness are filthy rag in his sight. Now, if you're going to come to this feast, you've got to be dressed right. You've got to be dressed right. You know why that is? That's the dress of Jesus Christ's righteousness. Now, this morning, I'll tell you, if you're saved, Jesus Christ imputed his righteousness to you, because you have no righteousness. There's nothing that anybody on the face of this earth could ever give God and say, hey, God, this is my righteousness, because God will not accept any of our righteousness. But you got to be a righteous and you got to be a perfect person to go to heaven. I said there's none of us perfect, didn't I? You got to be a perfect person to go to heaven. How do you do that? Because you're in Christ Jesus, his righteousness makes you perfect in the sight of God. You see, when God looks down and he sees the saved people here today, he don't see you in your old flesh and your old fallen nature. He sees you through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And through that blood, I tell you, it makes all things perfect. I tell you today, I'm probably the farthest person in this building of worthy. Thank you, Jesus. When he looks down at me, he don't see my faults and my failures. He sees the blood of his son, Jesus. And he clothes me in his son's righteousness. So I'm invited to that wedding feast. And I have on the garment. Oh, it's not my suits and my clothes, or not my good works. It's not my behavior. But it's what Jesus Christ done on Calvary. And he extended that to you this morning. If you would just come. If you would just come. Hope is built on nothing less but the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the righteousness of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and the bride adorned herself with her jewels. Today, all things are ready. All things are ready. I hope one thing that you have learned this morning, that you know that God, he have uncovered the eyes of many of us today. And just let us look down upon the riches we have in Jesus Christ. Because whenever you go out into this world, and the people out in this world is a dirty, sin-soaked world. And I'm going to tell you, the time that you walk out, in this world. Go back to your daily activities. You go back to your work and your school. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Satan's going to start trying to close in and cover your eyes from the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the reason it's so important to never miss an opportunity of the breaking of God's word, of his bread to life, that we might hear and be saved. And understand, if we save today, there's so many riches we have in Jesus Christ, if they would just come. I'm going to tell you, mothers and fathers, grandparents here today, if you have a family member, I'm going to tell you, you need to go to them, you need to talk to them, you need to pray for them. Or they may be friends or neighbors, whatever it might be, and they're not bringing their kids to the house of God. They're not coming themselves. I'm going to tell you how important it is. They are being blinded by this world, and they do not understand the great riches of what Christ has given for them. He has made the feast. He's done all this work in this preparation. He says, now I want you to come. And there's so many. I don't like your son. I don't think too much of you either. And I will not come. How sad it is to hurt a God that's done so much for us. But I'm afraid that's exactly what happened to many. As it comes with a song of invitation, I'm giving you an opportunity this day. I thank God for the privilege that I have to extend this invitation to everyone that's here this day, that they might come. And even those that already accept Jesus Christ, you may want to come here this day. There may be some things you might want to get on your knees and thank God for, pray for. Might be your family member, your loved ones. God spoke to you today, I can assure you, in this building. There's someone else that also will speak to you, and that's Satan himself. He's saying, yeah, don't listen to that old preacher. You think about this, you think about that, because you see you got somebody on each shoulder, a spirit on each shoulder. Satan and the Spirit of the Lord. Now, just which one do you want to listen to? You need to understand that there are always going to be voices talking to you. You need to come this morning. And he says, come just like you are. As we stand for this great, great invitation. Not just an invitation to play the